Let's go to Psalms 91. God just won't let me leave this alone, and I'm not trying to get out of it. I want to minister this morning on how to live quit-proof. How to live quit-proof. Some folks quit so easy, or do well for a season or a period of time, as it depicts there in Mark, the 4th chapter, and then at the most inopportune time, when a motherload of God's blessing is just going to be poured out, you know, Satan comes and steals the seed. I want to give you something this morning that is as much from the bedrock of my heart and spirit of what Pastor Bob Nichols is all about as anything in the entire Word of God. I love the Word of God. And I've loved Psalms 91, but it has not just hit me like it has over the past little period of time. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will be with him in trouble. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. These are keys to living supernaturally. And I think I'll stay with the title. Also, these are keys to help you to live quit-proof. How quickly some people can quit. Over 50 years, all kinds of opportunities and times when my flesh said, get out while you can, run while you can. It's not always been a bowl of cherries. It's been many challenges, and many of you have been right there with us in almost every step of the way. But these are the bedrock truths that have kept my heart from quitting when my flesh got weary, when my mind got weary, when things weren't always going as well as you'd like for them to go. And I firmly believe with all of my heart, if you listen to me this morning, I'm going to share some points with you from Psalms 91 that will literally make you quit-proof. Now, when God's time for change comes, everybody knows it, and it's a good feeling, and it's a positive thing, and we all rejoice together. It's not a negative. It's not a, you know, it's not a negative. Sometimes changes come. But very few people, very few believers make changes at the right time. I've seen so many forfeit the greater blessings of God just moving at the wrong time. And I've discovered this over the years. You know, I absorb some things. And when I first started ministering, I started noticing that pastors that don't stay places long don't accomplish much. And they run from demons here, but they meet the same demons down the road. Because demons move around if you don't stop them. And so you might as well just hold your ground and win your victories and be an overcomer. Because when you do that, it gets sweeter all the time. I am so thrilled about the things of God today. What are the keys to helping us to literally live quit-proof? I usually don't carry a wad of keys when I'm preaching, but I ask our brother to, where are my car keys? And there they were. And I want to give you this illustration. You see, there are two keys that I have that look identical. And believe me, when there's not enough light, they do look identical. They are identical to a certain point. But there's something about these keys. In fact, as I'm looking at it right now, I don't really see where anything is different. But let me tell you, one will open our house door, and the other one will open my church office door. And when you get the wrong key, the door's not going to open. They look the same. They really do. They're both silver. They both look the same, but they're different. And I've spent many a frustrated moment thinking, surely that was the key when it wasn't the key. And finally, got a little light or got your phone light on or something to where you could see what key it was. And you know, the Word of God is like that. One key opens my home door. One key opens the office door. God's Word has faith keys that will open doors that nothing else will open. God's Word has faith keys, faith promises. And no matter how you jam the key of life in and how hard you try to turn, it's not going to work until you get the right key. There are keys all over this auditorium today that may look similar, but they don't work in your door or my door or your car or my car. And as I looked at Psalms 91, the first key to make you quit proof is where you dwell. Where you dwell. Where you dwell. Where do you dwell? You know, unfortunately, some people come to church on Sunday, but they don't always dwell in the right place during the week. And you might say in the natural, it wasn't a bad place to dwell, but it wasn't the best place to dwell. So the Bible said, he that dwelleth, or she that dwelleth, dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I want to dwell where God dwells. I want to dwell where Jesus is Lord. I mean, I know we work in a sinful world and all that type of thing, but follow with me. I want to dwell where God is honored, not dishonored. Where do you dwell? And I rode out to the side of that, go there. Where do you go? Where do you go when the pressure's on? Where do you dwell when things aren't going your way? Where do you run off to, or where do you go? Where do you dwell? Phew. That is so simple, I think it may be getting past some of us here today. When the pressure's on, where do you run? Where do you go? Who do you go to? It's amazing how many born-again, Spirit-filled believers seek out people who are not in tune with God in the most intimate, critical times of their life. I talked to one of our men this week, and he has many disadvantages that he's had to overcome. But he had a relative that just passed away. I believe it was an uncle, if I remember correctly, who imparted wisdom. He was a godly man and imparted wisdom. And he said, the man gave me so much wisdom. It has helped me in business. It has helped me in my personal life. You know, it's amazing. Some people may not have college degrees, but they have horse sense, God sense, Holy Spirit sense. They know what to do. And thank God if you have it all. But where do you run? Where do you go when the pressure's on? Who do you run to? And how do you feel after you go there? After you listen to their advice, do you feel worse or better? I've learned to watch where I get advice. I've learned to watch who I listen to when the pressure's on. There's some people that'll sympathize with you and just put you 6 foot under if you're not careful. Where do you dwell when the pressure is on? Where do you run? Well, he that dwelleth in the secret place, of the Most High. Ooh, how many believe that's a good place? Run to God when the pressure's on. Run to God when you need wisdom. Run to God when you don't know which way to go. Run to God. Don't just blow up and explode and do something crazy. Run to God and talk to Him. God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. It's okay. Talk to Him. Isaiah 50 verse 7 said, the Lord God will help me. And that and many other scriptures tell us that. But we're not through with verse 1. Where do you run when the pressure's on? But wait a minute. Where do you stay? Where do you abide? Some people run into church. And I see this, it happens around here every once in a while. It's happened over the years. And you find out, we have a staff meeting, you find out that person has been to every staff member with the same story, seeking wisdom. Some folks really get around. And that's not wisdom. You don't tell everybody your story. You don't tell everybody the intimate details of your life. You don't just unload on whoever happens to be around. You better get the mind of God. But where do you run when the pressure's on? And where do you stay? Do you stay in a place of wisdom? So you ran to a place of wisdom. You ran to a place of help. You ran to a place that gave you some answers. But then do you run away and do something stupid? Where do we abide? Where do we run and where do we stay? I mean, some folks do real well on Sunday. The time I'm concerned about them is Monday through Saturday. Where do you run when the pressure's on? And where do you stay? Do you stay in that place of wisdom? Do you stay with the wisdom that God has given to you? Do you stay with godly counsel and advice? Spend considerable time here. You do that quite often. Trying to help somebody. And it looked like you just poured yourself into them. And they did well for about a week and then they just blew up again. Same old thing that I've seen for 30 years. How in the world can you go to a church for 30 years and hear everything that is spoken and taught and preached and still do dumb, dumb things? Brain's not perfected. We've got to learn. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know everything I want to know, but I've come a long way, and what I know, I'm staying with it, and I'm going to live it, and I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I've learned a lot, and I'm learning every day, but I'm not going back to what I had to learn. I'm going to stay on Smart Street. Where do you run? I just can't get away from this. Where do you run when the pressure's on? And where do you stay when the pressure's still on? You need to run to the right place and you need to hold steady. You need to learn to hold steady. Some of you grin when we talk just for a brief moment. You know what I'm going to say. Hold steady. Don't run and do something stupid. Hold steady. It's amazing how you feel after, how much better you feel after you get a good night's rest. Or maybe you just need to settle down a little bit or do something that you know you need to take care of business. Where do you run when the pressure's on? Go there. Where do you abide when the pressure's on? Stay there. Stay there. Whew. That's fresh ground with me. That's the way that the Spirit of God just instructed me to write it out. So, two keys to being quit-proof. Know where to run when the pressure's on and know where to stay when the pressure's on. The third key that I see here is what you say. What you say. What you say. The tongue. I was just reading this week what Dr. James said about the tongue. Set on the fires of hell. I mean, that's not, there's some verses there. No wonder the doctor said, stick out your tongue. When I was a little guy, we'd go to the doctor. That's the first thing they do. They get that old yucky tasting stick and put something on and say, stick out your tongue, because the tongue tells the story. And sometimes it tells the story it shouldn't tell. The tongue set on the... Do you see that? Now, I know there's a funny side to this, but there's a serious side. Could you handle if someone said, your tongue is set on the fires of hell? Whoa. There may be a few words following that one. Do you know when our tongue is not speaking what God said to speak, it's set on the fires of hell. The tongue starts fires. And after we came through the tornado and moved to this building, there was some electrical malfunction in the office area. This whole church could have burned down from one spark of some kind. One electrical malfunction of some kind. They never could really determine what it was. This whole thing could have burned. And the tongue can burn down a home. It can burn down a marriage. It can burn down a building. It can almost burn down a ministry if it's not the right kind of ministry. I mean, the tongue can bury someone's reputation. The tongue can put you under. The tongue, our words. What do you say when the pressure's on? What do you say? I will say. There it is. In verse 2. I will say. What do you say when the pressure's on? Where do you go? Where do you stay? And what do you say? What do you say? Let me tell you the safe thing to do. I will say of the Lord. I may not understand the trouble. I may not understand the challenge. I may not understand the difficulty. But I will say of the Lord, He is. He is. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Whew. Oh, what do you say? You say, well, have you mastered this? No, not completely. I had another idiot who cut me off on the freeway this week. I was trying to discreetly talk, you know, and drive. And I mean, I don't know what happened out on the freeways this week. I mean, people driving like they're crazy. They're competing for What do you say? Your tongue, your words, what you speak in faith, God will become to you. What we speak in faith, God will become to us. And you know, the teaching about the tongue didn't die when Charles Capps passed away, nor when Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin passed away. Because what they gave us was the Word of God from Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not a .38 revolver, not an Uzi, not a war machine, but the tongue starts wars, hurts people, messes things. The tongue gets people fired. What if they'd just listen and make a few corrections, everything would be all right. The tongue. I don't want to give you a piece of my mind. Honey, you can't afford any more pieces floating out there. You better hold on to every piece you got. Believe me, from my humble observation. I will say, this is bedrock. This is real stuff. What do you say? What do I say? I have to judge my tongue all the time. And I drink from the same fountain you drink from. I live in the same world you live in. Things hit me wrong too. Pastors cry too. Pastors are hurt too. Pastors go through emotions too. But I can't let it go. I've got to stay on God's side of everything. It's the only way it's going to work. I want to stay on God's side of everything. Because on God's side, it's going to be okay. What do you say when the pressure is on? Lord, Lord. The tongue is a fire. James said, it's a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. It's set on the fire of hell. The tongue can no man tame, but quickly let me tell you, you and God can tame that tongue. By faith in God. By faith in God, you and God can tame that tongue. It doesn't come through the power of positive thinking. It doesn't come through just willpower alone. But learning to say, God, forgive me. God, help me. It's an unruly member, full of deadly poison. More poison than whatever happened in Africa to those, the missionary and his aide and then others that are there. More deadly than that is the tongue. More deadly than the deadly. Listen to me. As a pastor, I've seen more people's lives ruined. I've seen more families messed up. That's why there's so much confusion in so many churches, because people do not judge their tongue. If you don't know, just shut up. Cool it. A gossiping tongue is full of bitter, envy, strife, earthly, sensual, devilish. That's what James said. I didn't say James said that. This is an announcement made by Dr. James, and I agree with it completely. Full of envy, full of strife, full of confusion. What do we say? What do we say? You know, I'm giving you a good list to work on this week. Where do you run when the pressure's on? Where do you stay when the pressure's on? And what do you say when the pressure's on? Here's another key to being quit-proof. What you believe. What do you really believe? Oh, I'm a believer. Yeah. What do you really believe? Well, I'm a believer, but that goat will get you in trouble. What do you believe? Surely! I see this, I hear this, I feel this, but surely! Surely! Without a doubt, He shall deliver me. Surely! That's what I believe. I said, that's what I believe. The first report's not the last report, and the last report's not the last report when your faith is in God. What do you believe? Excuse me, I'm all wound up in this today. What you believe. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, without a doubt. Surely. Oh, there's things in your life and my life too. I'm saying surely about it. I haven't seen the manifestation yet, but it's coming. But it'll never come if you don't get the surely down. Surely. All right, we're still here in Psalms 91. Another key to being quit-proof is what you fear not. Is what you fear not. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid. I mean, there's no excuse. No excuse. He doesn't let us off the hook. Thou shalt not be afraid. But you don't know what I'm facing. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 24/7. You know, it just hit me. I just had to stop and praise the Lord that Isaiah 41:10 has been a 50-year promise. It's still working. You get all these guarantees and warranties and things, and things don't work. Things don't work. I remember one time I'm smarter now, but they had a lifetime warranty on a tire. And I thought, that's a good deal. You know, I'm on a limited budget and I'm a young preacher, and that's what I need, a warranty, guarantee that my tires will not wear out. But the tires went bad, and I went back to the dealership, and they're out of business. My. Oh, let me tell you about a 50-year promise that's still working. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. I mean, every day of my life, several times a day, I have to just say, whoa, and just get a rein on my spirit and say, I believe God. I don't care how this looks, smells, thinks, whatever. I believe God. And if I know what to do, God, you show me what to do. I'll do what is right. I'll do what's pleasing to you. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God's going to see us through. What you fear not, what you fear will make you a candidate to quit. In fact, most quitting is based on fear. I'd say maybe all of it is, probably. But here's 24-hour protection. I saw some deodorant the other day for 48 hours. And I've been around some folks that didn't last 12 hours. You know what I mean. It's just, it said 48, but that you're wasting your money. What you fear not. And I touched on this, and I've already touched on this, but I'm going to go at it again. Another key to being quit-proof is who or what you love. Who or what you love. And this verse has been spotlighted to me in a way that I've never seen it. I've seen it, but I didn't really see it. Because the Word of God said here in Psalms 91, verse 14, because He hath set His love upon me. That means you get a lock on. You commit. You get a grip on. I'm going to love God first, best, most. God's going to be the most important thing in my life. For thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I mean, this is back over in Deuteronomy. But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's found over in the 22nd chapter of Matthew when they came to Jesus and said, which commandment is the... what's the greatest commandment out of some 630, whatever that number is, commandments that Jewish people say they keep every day or they're supposed to keep? What's the most important? Wouldn't you be interested in finding out what's the most important if you were supposed to keep 633 things? I mean, you got your laundry list or your grocery list, and it says 633 things I've got to do today. Well, the first thing, you need to be born again. You've got to be born again. You must be born again. Secondly, folks, more important than my standing up here and preaching, I love this church, but I love God more. I love my wife, but I love God more. I love you, but I love God more. That we love God more than anything or anyone in our life. Now that talks easy for a moment, but you know, in real life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I say quite often, I thank you, Lord. I love you. I praise you, or I worship you. But I found myself now for days just saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Lord, I want to love you more every day. I want to love you more every day. I want to love God more than anything. Because, see, here's the thing. If you really love God, then you treat God's kids right. If you really love God, then you treat the church right. If you really love God, we treat our family right. Do you see what I'm talking about? But if you don't love God, it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And secondly, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if you don't love God, you're going to have trouble loving yourself. And you're sure going to have trouble loving someone else. The second commandment is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, God wants you to feel good about yourself. God doesn't want you going around beating yourself up all of the time. Satan will say, you're never good enough, never good enough, never good enough. And he'll just push and shove. He's such a bully, such a nothing. And then you step over a trace or you do something you wish you hadn't done. And then he comes around on the other side and says, condemnation, condemnation. Ha, ha, ha. Got you again. But, oh, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your neighbor as yourself. God wants us to feel good about ourselves. And he wants us to treat one another right. But I do want to emphasize, I don't want to stray too far from this. Because he hath set his love upon me. Some of you remember the songs that we've sung in days gone by. I love him because he first loved me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Oh, I love you, Lord. Don't be in too big a hurry not to love, that you don't have time to love the Lord. I love you, Lord. I love his word. I love the Lord. Just spend time in his presence. Part of your time needs to be just telling God that you love him. Because when you really love something, you want to know more about them. I met my wife, and there was great love in my heart, but you know what? I wanted to know more about her. I wanted to spend time with her. I was in Bible college in Waxahachie, and I was working an evening shift in Gladiola Biscuit Company over in Dallas. I guess they're still in business. I don't know. But, you know, there were times when I would make the triangle, Waxahachie to Dallas, Dallas to Fort Worth, just for a few moments to talk to Joy, and then head back to Bible college. Body was tired, hardly had enough gas, you know, on tight budget and all that. But because I loved, I wanted to be with her. I wanted to know more about her. And you know, when we really love God, it's good to do the things we do. It's good to sing. It's good to teach. It's good to preach. I'm so blessed to have been able to have been in the ministry this period of time and all of that. But you know, I don't find my self-worth in the ministry. I find my self-worth in God and loving God. Thank God He's been so good to me. Joe and I talk about this quite often. God has been so good to us. God has helped us. Yes, we face tragedy in our own personal lives with our daughter, but praise God, we just keep on standing on the Word of God. You don't pastor a church without facing some very challenging times, but you know, you just keep on loving God. Just keep on loving God. And you know, if we just keep on loving God and trusting God, everything's going to be all right. I said, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I tell you, I wouldn't trade this church where it is for where it is right now, for where we were a while back. But I do have one thing I'm locked in on. Just be sure you're in the right place and listen to what is preached around here. Don't sit in these pews and hear some of the best gospel any church could ever hear, and your heart... If you don't receive it, your heart gets hard. You can backslide in church. And I've had to deal with some people that literally backslid going to church. You can sit there just zoned out. But oh, let the Word of God change you. Let the Word of God tenderize your heart. Let the Word of God, don't just sit there like a zombie. Don't just come and go through the motions. But oh, let God put His Holy Spirit tenderizer on your heart. Keep a tender heart. Keep a tender heart. Oh, never stop loving. Never stop trusting. You can't do it. You've got to go forward. And then you look at all the precious lives that are coming to Jesus around here. Dear Lord, we have so much to shout about. I tell you, we have so much to shout about. And the best is yet to come. Keys to living quit proof. Where do you go? Where do you run when you're in trouble? Where do you stay? What do you say? What do you really believe? What do you fear not and refuse to fear and let fear rule and reign in your life? Who or what do you really love? Who or what have I setting my love upon? I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me.